Hello, and welcome to another episode of Ask Backwards, the podcast where we fucking...
We do things backwards, like your ass, like that song by Mindless Self-Indulgence, you know, shit like that. I'm Trent, that's Ed, and I'm just glad that I can wake up today and not have to deal with the fact that I wasn't born in the 1900s and don't have polio. So... if you do have polio, I'm sorry, because I know that shit's ass. Yeah.
Our extensive audience of 5 people, all of which suspiciously in North Korea, don't know how that happened, are all very concerned about their polio. This was very insensitive of you.
I want you guys to know, Ed is joking about North Korea, it's really Russia. Anyway, today's episodes, we're doing a part 2 of the video game phenomenon, the evolution of video games, video games, video games, video games. You see what I mean?
Yeah, we left off, like, the way we handled the last episode, we ended up going through the ages, like, we started early and started building through time, and we decided there's still a lot of time left to cover, and it's an area of time that we're both very well acquainted with. Because you grow up with the stuff that we were talking about. This, what we're talking about today is the stuff that we were, like, invested in. Like, the stuff that, like, really got us going through fucking high school and shit like that.
Oh, yes, when you spend half your childhood either being sheltered as fuck or going outside doing things that your parents would shun you if they knew about, you tend to find yourself really interested in the things that you see and done. And a lot of that has to do with, like, a lot of PS2 games. So we're going to go back to that, because I still got a longer list, motherfuckers.
Spent childhood sheltered. Speak for yourself, and me as well. So, was there a certain point you wanted to, like, start on? Like, or are we just, like, gonna jump in with, what was your favorite PS2 game?
I feel like I answered this last episode, so I don't want to contradict myself, but I think San Andreas, I don't know. I don't really have a favorite.
That is what you said last time, to be honest with you.
No, I probably said Bully for real. Bully was that shit. I used to have dreams that I was getting chased by the campus security and Bully in, like, real life, and I was Jimmy. And I'm over here always panicking, always running.
It's hard to pin a favorite with some of these, because some games started getting, like, very radically different directions. So, with how gaming has developed, PS2 era is when you started getting into new storylines and new mechanics and stuff. So it kind of came down to, like, what would I prefer today rather than what do I like in general? So there are a lot of different games. Like, it's hard to pin a favorite when it's like, what was your favorite at that point, or what made you happiest at that point? Like, it's hard to say which one made me happiest. But then there are also games that could make you, like, some games have heartbreaking scenes in them, and that earns them points. So it's like, where do you draw the line on what should be your favorite? That's personal opinion. There's a lot of, like, work around on that to really pin down one being better than all the others.
And I think another thing is PS2 is when they really widened their range with being very creative in video games. So you pretty much can, it's like all you can eat. You get whatever you want. You can have a game like The Warriors where you're over here robbing radios, or you can get a game like Prey on Xbox where you are sitting there turning the lights on and off and watching the water go down, and you can flip the toilet seat to go up and down. It's amazing all the things that PS2 was able to do back then. It's like, wow.
Since we're talking about the diversity, let's hit on genre. What do you think would be your favorite horror game from PS2?
Horror game? I'm gonna be honest, during the PS2 stages, I wasn't really into horror games, so I guess I'll pick Silent Hill because I played the original one on PS1. But, I was, like, a scared little child, so catch me, like, shooting people on GTA before I sit there and, like, go through Resident Evil.
Yeah, I loved Resident Evil 2. Was that on PS2 or PS1? No, that was PS1. PS2, I think, was Resident Evil 4 was introduced, which was a lot of fun. But speaking Silent Hill, I've only ever played one Silent Hill game, and that was Shattered Memories, and it was terrible. Not because it itself was necessarily a bad story or anything. It was like a remake of the original game, I think. But it was that it was divided into two sections, which was the, like, overworld or, like, real world, I think, quote-unquote, which was, like, a very realistic, gritty thing. And then there was, like, a nightmare realm, where I think what the point of that was you were supposed to sneak around and, like, look for clues and stuff. But you can also just run through it, because if the monsters are chasing you in the nightmare realm, you can't outrun them. But it is a direct, like, beginning to end of level. So you can just run from the beginning to the end of the level. It had, like, hiding mechanics and all of that, which it taught me, but I never used them. And I never searched for clues. When I was in the nightmare realm, I always just thought, okay, I'm going to just run to the end of it and get out of this place, because why would I want to be here? And it wasn't until, like, years later that I thought back and realized, oh, I probably missed a lot of shit.
Sorry, guys. Let's talk about hiding mechanics, though, because the evolution of hiding mechanics in PS2 is, like, ungodly. You have stuff like Metal Gear Solid and Tom Clancy, and I really wanted to mention this game, Ed, Second Sight. If you know, you know, but if you don't, you know, you fucking don't, but I'm gonna fucking tell you, okay? Imagine a game that, like, gives off the vibes of, like, an army shooter game, but at the same time, you could sneak around and hide from things like Manhunt and kill people. But on top of that, you have superpowers, bro. I'm talking, like, telekinesis and shit.
That's, so it's like you're a psychic, is what I'm thinking, right?
Yeah, somewhat.
Because like, I'm hearing, like, Second Sight as the name makes me think, like inner eye kind of
shit. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, I guess, yeah. But it was a really fun game. You had to, like, sneak through vents to, like, avoid the FBI or these, you know, suit and tie gentlemen that were chasing you. And at the same time, you can, like, go in their head and make them do things that they didn't want to do. So you would have them shoot their, like, teammates and shit instead of, like, coming at you.
But the more I hear about this, the more I think, yeah, this is a psychic warrior.
But at the same time, you have flashbacks of being in the army and discovering you had powers, and so you're over here shooting motherfuckers with AKs and shit, and then all of a sudden you remember you can just throw these niggas with your imagination. It's a pretty fucking cool game that should have got a sequel. It should have.
First game I played that had telekinesis was a PS2 game, actually. Legacy of Kain. Which one was it where you got to play as both Kain and, Razio? What was the main guy? Like, the soul?
I didn't play.
I talked about him last time, and I'm just...
I smoke weed. You're asking the wrong nigga.
But as the soul vampire dude, you had your own set of powers, but as Kain, you were a normal vampire, like a normal blood-sucking vampire. And as Kain, you had telekinesis and could, like, lift up enemies and throw them around. And one of the most fun things about it is if you were in just a normal room, you would throw them wherever you were throwing them. But if you threw them in the vague direction of somewhere where there was, like, a spike on the wall, then they would, like, pathfind to the spike, so you wouldn't have to be, like, super specific with it.
Yeah.
And they would just impale on the spike and die. And it was honestly so much fun. People act like aim assist is a terrible thing and this and that. And for multiplayer games, sure. But when a game's helping you to do radical shit like that, I can't fault it. By no means can I fault the feeling I got from throwing motherfuckers onto spikes and into each other and shit, you know?
Yeah, I understand. Another game that's probably slept on, and maybe it's not your niche, but I thought it was a fun game, and I'm not really even into that shit. I think it was MX or AX versus ATVs Unleashed, and it's just... you with motorbikes or ATVs, and you're racing or doing tricks and all that shit. It was a pretty fun game.
The only car games I ever really played, I did play Burnout for PS2. Of course. But other than Burnout, the only games I played that were car-oriented were on PS1, and it was Crash Bandicoot's racing game, which that one was, it was a lot of fun. People say it's like, it's similar to like Mario Kart and how it was. And there was another one, this was also PS1. It was like the WWE car game, where you would go into a ring with like a bunch of other cars based on the wrestlers and their backstories and shit.
I think I remember that shit.
And I remember that if you chose the, like, they all had their own abilities. But the Undertaker's ability was, like, he would make all the cars around him, like, float into the air and crash back down into the ground. And it just really solidified for me that WWE is a soap opera. Like,
it,
the
amount is
of
a
mythical
brand.
Shit that was going on in that game, and that it, like, made sense for the characters, despite it being so crazy, really helps you realize how crazy the WWE is.
Let's just talk about how many different games branched off because of the WWE. Like, I can't put a number on it right now, but I'll look it up later. But I'm sure there's over 20 games that are just from the WWE, WWF franchise alone. And I'm talking things from back in the day where you fucking had Stone Cold on the front of the fucking game cassette on Nintendo 64 to now with the undying but really needs to die amount of WWE SmackDown versus Raw. Like I said back in the other podcast, I was a big fan between like the 2005 to 2010 era, but after that, like, I turned 13. So, but, yeah, PS2's have a lot of games. So does GameCube, too. I think that's another slept-on device that we didn't really talk about.
Yeah, we didn't talk much about GameCube. I'm trying to remember exactly what was on GameCube, because I remember playing GameCube. I think the only game I can really remember specifically being on GameCube that I played a lot of was Super Monkey Ball.
Super Monkey Ball? What's that?
You've never heard of Super... Okay, so here's the plot. You're a monkey. You're in a ball.
Okay. I'm listening.
All right, now on to the gameplay.
Yo, what?
You roll around, like, pre-made tracks that, like, they don't have anything on the side, so you have to make sure you don't fall off the track. That's the only way you fail.
Okay.
Like, there's no railing or anything. And you have to find your way around the track and different obstacles to get to the end. And when you get to the end, a giant, like, you know those celebratory balls that, like, in Japan, they break for, like, and they're full of confetti and shit?
Yeah.
Because obviously it's a Japanese game.
Oh, yeah.
You would reach one of those with, like, an arch. So you go through the arch, the ball explodes, and then you get a bunch of bananas and go to the next level.
That's so fucking fried.
Right?
It sounds like...
And I'm pretty sure it was GameCube exclusive.
Yeah, it sounds... I was about to say, it sounds like a straight GameCube exclusive. Because GameCube was, like, ominous like that. Like, you'd get all the weird, obscure games that you know was strictly Nintendo and no other game system was going to grab. Yeah, but GameCube had a lot of weird games. They had, like, Bomberman. They had the Bratz. They had... Capcom versus SNK2, you know, they had Cars. They did continue the Casper franchise, which was cool. They had Conan. A lot of, like, kid-like oriented games. But it did have stuff like Second Sight, Crazy Taxi, and that's actually where I played Second Sight on. And of course, Sims, like, ran GameCube, honestly.
I just looked it up. Super Monkey Ball is a franchise.
I'm not fucking surprised.
Yes. Or, like, look at...
Yeah, that does not surprise me. They also had Enter the Matrix, the Dragon Ball Z franchise, the Evolution of Snowboarding, a lot of sports games, honestly, and a lot of kid-oriented games, but I think that's kind of why it didn't really age well. But at the same time, GameCube was the most indestructible game system of all time, bro. I have watched videos back on when G4 was still a thing. Rest in peace, bro.
I still have a GameCube. It's in the basement.
Dude, do you remember G4?
G4? No.
It was on IGN.
But,
I know.
You don't remember Super Monkey Ball, so I guess we grew up with different stuff.
I think it was sponsored by IGN or something, but it was definitely a video game television. And you could put on G4 and they would show you video game reviews before we had internet. So.
And it was actually really cool.
Yeah, they also aired shit like Ninja Warrior and shit like that. So, like, it was a very obscure channel. Like, it was a hidden gem. But, yeah, there was there's not that much I could say about GameCube besides how indestructible they were. When I watched that episode on G4, they dropped it from like the 20-story building and it still turned on. They hit it with a sledgehammer and it still turned on. And meanwhile, the Xbox and the PS3 look like it just came from Fallout.
It's
so,
the Nokia of gaming systems.
Yeah.
But the tiny little discs always got me.
Oh yeah, the baby disc. I know the thing is, like, people, they like things that are small. A lot of people have a small niche. That's why Rick and Morty made that episode where you're over here eating a tiny Tim's or some shit and everything.
No, like, the it was one of the interdimensional cables where he was like, do you have a tiny mouth, like, and a big head? We'll come to, like, in whatever the hell his name was. And we'll give you a tiny little plate with tiny food.
It's so fucked up I can't remember because I just watched it yesterday. But anyway, now let's go to Xbox. We didn't really touch too much on Xbox 360, and I know you didn't really play it that much.
Yeah. We touched briefly on it, but I didn't have much to say personally. If you've got more.
I will say Xbox is, in my mind, known for really bringing card games to the future that it is now. With, I think Xbox was the first one that had the pedals, the attachment that you can put in.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I used to get babysit by somebody who had a lot of adopted kids, so they decked out their whole garage with TVs and game systems lined up for us to play.
It's like arcade ass garage.
Yeah, with a pool table.
That's pretty fucking awesome.
Facts. So I would play, like, the Xbox, and they had the little pedals, and we'd play the racing games and shit. I always sucked ass, but it was very realistic, especially if you're playing, like, GTA or something. Just switch the controls real quick, and now you're over here feeling like you're driving a real car.
I mean, yeah, I feel like that kind of, like, having controllers like that, I remember we tried to do that a lot, like, try to have, like, different attachments and different things.
Yeah.
It never really worked.
I think that was the one thing that kind of put Xbox ahead at that time, because I remember, like, the original Xbox could play music, and PS2 did not have that. Like, you could put in a CD, but you couldn't just play music in the background.
Yeah, I mean, I've never heard of that feature, so, like, that was, like being real here, that sounds awesome. I kind of wish, like, I got to experience that.
Yeah, it was awesome, and you know, especially back then, you didn't realize how advanced Xbox was, but yeah, I always thought that was a cool feature, and then
at this point, it really feels like one or the other, they're just kind of the same.
Yeah, Xbox and 360?
Yeah. Like, Xbox and PlayStation, like, the newest consoles come out, and they're both like, well, we're basically a computer, but with specific games. Like, that's how it feels.
I'm gonna be honest, I never played the Xbox One, but I have watched my friend Nate play Baldur's Gate for, like, 4 days straight, and it looks fun, but, you know, PS5, I don't know, that's, ever since I got the Red Ring of Death, sorry, Xbox, I'm not buying anymore.
Oh, yeah, the Red Ring of Death was, like, that was notorious. Like, I'm sure a lot of fucking kids nowadays have no idea what it even is, which makes me feel old, but, like,
you are old, Ed. Do you know that people born in 2010 turned 14 this year?
I don't fucking need this from you. I don't fucking need this slander right now. We're sitting here. We're enjoying ourselves. We're talking about video games, having a couple drinks, having a nice day, and all of a sudden I get this personal attack thrown at me.
Oh, shit. But no, there were some great games, and I will say there was a lot of good animal or simulation games. The evolution of that is also crazy to see, because you think about things like roller coaster games and shit where you can build your own zoo, Zootopia, fucking shit. And then you come to now, and you have farming simulator, airport simulator, gas station simulator. I'm not fucking joking. There's a gas station simulator, but it's cool because you're also a mechanic. Now, if you were just pumping gas, it'd be lame.
I don't know. It depends on how they handled it. But when you're bringing up simulator games, talk about an old console. Have you ever played on Dreamcast?
Yes.
Have you ever heard of the game Seaman?
Of course not.
Okay, it was niche. It was a weird Japanese game. But I'm pretty sure it was on Dreamcast. It was a fish with a man's face. And you had to take care of him and let him grow. but you could talk to him. Like, he could talk back to you. It was, like, revolutionary for the time. He was, like, an AI. And you could talk to him and ask him questions and stuff, and he would respond coherently. And it was the creepiest, weirdest thing. But, like, you could then, like, hatch other Seamans and stuff. But there was, like, the risk that the Seaman that's in the tank, being the perfectly coherent and logical being that he is, might eat the other one.
Oof.
Or they could mate, too.
Well, that sounds like real life, alright?
Yeah, I mean, we've all been there. You go to the bar.
Have we?
You go to the bar, you see a hot girl, you're like, hey, what's up?
Hey, babe, are you a cannibal or not?
Next thing you know, you're down a kidney, sitting in a bathtub in Vegas. You know, it's just, we've all dealt with it at one point or another. It's nothing to be ashamed of.
Ed says Vegas, but he really means Baghdad. I'm kidding. Bangkok.
No, you're right. I can't afford Vegas. I've never been able to afford Vegas.
Okay, we're from a small town, all right? We're lucky that we're able to afford shit groceries. To be honest, this inflation is killing me.
Dude, I mean, my diet is garbage. Like, you know,
I know
who you're talking to. Oh, fuck.
I'm sorry. Like, I ain't never seen a nigga down energy drinks like the eye down water. Okay? And that's bad.
Fuck you.
As he pours out more energy fucking shots.
Yeah, if you want to know what that noise was, if it picked up on camera, that was me dumping the bag that was sitting on the couch next to me with multiple energy shots in it. Bottoms up.
This nigga, he don't even work today, but he's drinking a 5-hour. There's no a 5-hour to sit in one place for 2 hours. Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, yeah, that gives me 3 spare hours. It's called profit.
He's like, I'm using the rollover plan. Since I used the 2 hours to sit down, I can roll it over for when I'm done with this podcast.
Yeah, once I'm done with this podcast, that gives me 3 hours of shit I can do. You know, like, sit here, watch videos on YouTube, maybe play a video game, masturbate.
I was about to say, if you don't fucking just take the 5-hour and jerk off like the rest of us...
Is that the deal? Like, is that what everyone else is doing? They just, they down their 5-hour energy, and just the pants go down. You take a Viagra with it, you know, just use it to wash the pill down.
I don't know about anybody else, but really experimental people have probably jerked off trying every type of substance. Like me.
Look, I've jerked off on a lot of different things before, alright? Don't get me wrong. Mushrooms was the hardest, but I accomplished my goal.
Man, it's already bad enough trying to have sex on acid. Don't even try to ask me to jerk off on mushrooms. You think I can pay attention to your pussy, bitch? You wondering why my dick can't stay up? Girl, I'm looking at the ceiling fucking patterns. Why do they say my name?
Oh, trust me, it wasn't easy. Like, I'm pretty sure that I got an Xbox achievement, the little pa-ding, after I finished. Just because of how difficult it was, God threw me a bone. But speaking of Xbox, we had a topic to get back to.
Oh yes, this was a podcast about video games, not masturbating on different substances.
This is why I was saying, like, I don't know if we need a topic.
You know what? I need a topic. I need a topic. I already have a bad enough time trying to speak as it is, bro. English is like... hard for me half the time. I don't even know how I do this podcast half the time. Especially since I always get a little bit intoxicated. Just a little bit. Just enough to put the pressure off.
I gave you a beer right before we started. Well, a twisted tea.
I already had dabs and weed in my system. I don't know what the fuck you expect.
You finished that like 10 minutes ago.
What, the dabs or the weed or the beer?
No, the twisted tea.
Oh, yeah, for now. Until I ask for another one, I'm gonna drink all your twisted tea, Ed.
I welcome that you do. I only bought it because I forgot I hated twisted tea. I still got one more in the fridge. You want it?
Yeah, honestly. Right. You know, twisted tea is a staple of our city because of a certain video that went around a couple years ago on Christmas. Won't say it, but if you know, you know.
Doxing us through memes. Jeez. Yeah, again, I don't really care for twisted tea. I'm drinking Mountain Dew mixed with elderflower cordial because those were the two things that I had in the house.
now we're going to PlayStation 3s. We're not going to get distracted anymore. No, no, I'm lying. We are going to get distracted. But
what's that?
A squirrel! But to continue, we're going to go forward to the PS3 games. A couple games that I mentioned. Mirror's Edge. Sleeping Dogs, which is a great game. I'll go back to that. Bulletstorm. Vanquish. Alpha Protocol. Dragon's Crown, Nier, which my girlfriend fucking loves. These are just some of the underrated PS3 games, but of course there's a lot out there. Of course, God of War expanded over the PS3, of course.
When you say Nier, you mean like Nier Automata? Is that the one, or is that?
I believe so. Yeah, it's definitely a series. So
I've seen stuff about it, mostly porn.
Stop.
I'm not lying, man. That's not even meant to be like a shock humor thing or anything. That's just, that's what I've seen from that franchise predominantly.
No, so. I believe it, because the amount of Skyrim porn that's out there is unreal and horrifying.
I mean, it's either horrifying or... I'm against the Lucky Argonian Maid. Like,
this nigga's like, I tried to jerk off to that shit once. It was alright. I didn't feel too ashamed.
Just like post nut clarity, pull out a clipboard. 7 out of 10.
Me when I go on heavy R. Anyway.
Oh, fuck, man. I'm gonna PS3. Let's talk personal experience. Like, what do you personally remember from the PS3 that really stuck out to you?
To be honest, I sold my PS3 for weed, so that is kind of like a blurry vision for me. But I do remember Batman. I remember playing Arkham Asylum. I thought that was a pretty fun game. I also think they had Arkham City on there as well. I owned both, so yeah, that was always fun to me. Open world superhero games really hit sometimes when they do it right. Now, we didn't really have a Spider-Man for the PS3, I don't think so. I know that the PS2 version was great, though. That was one of the top games, I thought, when it came to open-world PlayStation. What about you?
PS3, I remember, like, that's when I first started on Borderlands, so that always kind of stuck out to me. As well, that's when I first, because on PS3, I played Bioshock. As well, I think. Oh, Bioshock 1 and 2. I don't remember if Infinite was on the PS3 or the PS4, but Bioshock was one of my favorite games. And, like, that genre, that first person shooter, but still, like, level based, like, go through each level kind of game, that's my favorite type of game, especially with, like, a good story. And that really set the precedent for me for what that could be, you know?
Yeah, Bioshock was a very good game. I had an ex who pretty much had the whole series. There was also Uncharted 2. That was a really good game. I liked the graphics for that, the atmosphere, the environment. You very much felt like you were fucking over here hunting treasure.
I think, okay, so Bioshock 2, no, it was Bioshock 1. I think that was the first game that I ever actually played to full, like, completion, at least in my memory that I can remember. And I'm pretty sure I have beaten other games in the past, but that was always more like I'm going through the game. This was the first game that I was fully invested, and when I reached the end, it felt like I had concluded a story instead of just there's no more game to play. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I understand that. There was also Killzone 3, which was another good game. You mentioned Borderlands. I was into that.
Yeah.
I think Borderlands had a lot. You can give a lot of credit to Borderlands because it kind of opened up more people to, you know, online playing against a bunch of people.
And the movie's coming out soon. So you can kind of see how big of a franchise it's become. Now, I'm worried for the movie. I'll be completely honest. I don't know. Have you seen, like, the trailers and stuff for that?
No, I haven't. I didn't even know it was coming out with a movie.
Oh, yeah. There's a live-action movie coming out, and I am scared for it, because it seems like they kind of assembled a celebrity cast, and, like, yeah. Anytime you say that for a movie, it's kind of like, did they really care about the movie, or is this a cash grab?
No, definitely, when you have a wide range of very popular celebrities in your movies, like, For example, remember Valentine's Day? Remember that movie, and it literally had like 30 celebrities that you knew their name or they were household names? That was definitely cash grabs. That tells you they don't really care about the writing, the storyline. They don't care if the scenes click or if you get a feeling. They just want your money.
Here's the thing. Have you played Borderlands 2?
Yeah.
You remember Tiny Tina?
Yeah.
Did you play the Bunkers and Badasses DLC for that, where you're like in a fantasy world and Tina's like the dungeon master?
I think for a little bit.
Yeah, like a major plot point of that entire DLC is that she's getting over her grief of Roland dying, and there is literally a scene at the end of it that is completely heartbreaking, where she faces that, like, they're telling her Roland isn't going to show up for the game, he's dead, because through the entire thing she's like, oh, Roland isn't here to play with us yet. And her response was just a full breakdown. I know. I'm like, this is escapism. I know that he's not going to be here, but can we just pretend? That's what we're doing here. Pretending.
Jeez.
And it was heartbreaking. And adult Tiny Tina and Roland are both characters in the movie, which, considering him dying while she was still a child, was a major point in the games. That just makes me look at the movie like, yeah, this clearly isn't going with the story. And, like, this is one of the more, like, impactful parts regarding both of their characters. So, what the fuck is this doing? And it also gets me that Claptrap has a different voice actor.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, considering, like, I get there that the actors can't be the people who voice the characters. They don't look anything like them 90% of the time. But Claptrap in the movie is CGI. So, like, they it's just a voice actor. They could have just gotten the original voice actor, but instead they got, like, a celebrity, I think, and I'm just like, at that point, like, clearly you're not.
Oh, yeah. Another game that I wanted to refer to was Battlefield Bad Company. I think that game was one of the most comical military games that's ever been out there. Just the, like, niche and the, you know, the fucking side jokes, and, you know, you definitely have a character that's the comedy that you needed when it's definitely would be a serious moment.
Now, I might get some flack for this. I have never played a Battlefield game.
Well, I want to say you're not missing out, but you kind of are. Because when it comes to, like, exploding houses with people in it, yes, that's what you want.
Yeah, I want to, and I've wanted to for a while, but it's just never something that I've wanted to enough to sit down and pay for. Like, and the biggest thing with that is these are great multiplayer games, apparently. And I don't have any friends that play them. So I'm kind of in this position where I'm like, if I buy it and I get on and I'm just, like, playing alone and it doesn't, like, hold me, you know, it's always a gamble to get a game with multiplayer when you don't have someone to play it with, you know?
Yeah, I understand. I hate playing with strangers. And then I only play with my friends for, like, one game and then never play with them again. So I'm kind of horrible.
Yeah, it's the worst thing is when you have a friend that only ever plays one game, and you're into that game. Okay, there's two different types of horrible here. There's the friend that only ever plays one game, and then you get sick of playing it with them. Sometimes just because you get bored of the game, sometimes because the friend is just insufferable because they're a tryhard because they always play one game. And then there's the second kind of terrible, which is those friends that always play a different game every week. So every week they're coming to you like, hey, drop $60 on this game to play with us, and then you play it once, and then never again. And it's like, oh, thanks, great.
I am that friend. I'm the one who told my mom to buy the game just to play with her twice. But there is other games I wanted to mention as well. I know, I ain't shit. There's also... Fuck, what is it? Dead Space is a good one, but I did mention that in the last podcast. Oh, if you guys ever played Wet, it was a very fucking weird...
Wet?
Yes, it's called Wet.
I've played with some wet things, but I don't think I know that.
It's like a woman storyline game, kind of giving off Kill Bill.
Along with the wet things, yeah, that I know of.
It gives off Kill Bill vibes, but it's very interactive when it comes to, like, cutting them with the sword and everything.
Oh.
It definitely didn't give good reviews, so it's definitely not a game you should play if you're only half interested.
Just unlocked some memories for me. Some PS2 memories, if I can backtrack.
Another good game was Infamous, if you remember that, where you're, like, possessed with, like, alien technology or some shit.
No, Infamous was... Okay, Infamous was the one where, like, a bunch of people suddenly got powers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And in Infamous, you had lightning powers.
Yep.
And then the sequel, Second Son, you had, like, smoke powers.
Yep.
But you could, like, unlock new powers through it as well. Like, Infamous was a really fun game, just playing with the electrical powers. Like, you could, like, skate on the electrical wires around the city.
Yeah, that was always really fun. Another open world game. Yeah, yeah, it definitely gave off Static Shock vibes. I love that game. That was a really good game. They also had Splinter Cell, which I'm always going to say is a great game. I'm addicted to Splinter Cell. What can I say? Hitman was also great. Mass Effect. There was also Red Faction with... If you know, like, I used to play the old Red Faction, so watching it, like, go on and do Red Faction Guerrilla, I think that was the most recent one they had anyway. It is a good game. It showed me what the ray gun is, where you can shoot people through walls, and people were mad as fuck when you got that.
We all remember the first game that let you shoot through a wall. Like,
literally.
It's pretty common nowadays, especially with, like, Siege and games like that. But, like, back when it was first a thing, like, that first game you ever played where you could just pin someone through a wall, fucking glorious.
Facts. But now we're going to go on to PS4 games, which is actually what I own because I'm broke as fuck. But I can honestly tell you my honest opinion and with most recent memory of what I'm playing now.
No,
and
we're not doing PS5, not because we're too broke for it, but because this podcast is about things from the past. We're totally not completely fucking broke people who can't afford PS5s.
I am. I'm gonna be real.
As we record this on my, like, 5-year-old computer.
I was about to say, we're not broke at all as we're living in a city that is known for poverty.
Look, man.
We don't even have a decent mall.
If I could honorable mention something, this is what I was bringing up earlier, memories from PS2. Have you ever played Blood Rain?
Yeah.
Fucking phenomenal game. First game that ever allowed me to slow down time to dodge bullets. Absolutely amazing feeling. Just wanted to throw that out. If you haven't played Blood Rain, get an emulator or some shit. It's so good.
Another good game just like that, that lets you dodge bullets. If you ever watched the movie Wanted, I highly suggest you play the game. It wasn't 100%, but it was still good. But one of the favorite PS2 games that I like going back to, this is the reason I'm buying a new PS2 game, is 24 the Game. I don't know why. I never even watched 24 a day in my fucking life. But that video game had me feeling like I need to solve these cases, bro.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Backtracking complete PS4.
PS4, I'm going to start off with what I'm playing right now, which what I currently have downloaded is Fallout 4. You can't deny how amazing that game is. You're living in Boston, Massachusetts during a post-nuclear apocalypse, trying to survive using this armor you got from the Brotherhood of Steel. It's just a great game. The settlements are great. The details, the making sure your nigga eats, sleeps, and repeats everything.
I'll be honest, the first time I ever played Fallout 4, and this is going to be weird, I hadn't played on PC much. I had my computer, but I also had a VR headset. I played the first time I ever played PS, or not PS4, Fallout 4.
Get it together, Ed.
Fuck, man. The first time I ever played Fallout 4, make sure I enunciate before I get a whooping, was on the Oculus Rift, CD1.
If you don't whoop your homies, then you don't love them, anyway.
That's a horrible lesson. So when I was playing it, I wasn't experienced with mouse and keyboard. But since I was in VR, I was, like, shooting things like you would with a normal gun. Like, you would with a Nerf gun or, a normal pistol.
Hell yeah.
Whatever. Like, you could just point at something and shoot it. And so I got really used to that. So the first time I ever played Fallout 4 was on, like, after that, the first time I did not in VR, I was playing it on a desktop, which I was very inexperienced with. And I was, like, flicking my mouse around, having trouble aiming because I wasn't used to aiming on a computer at that point. And all I could think was, like, because you'll watch videos of people try VR for the first time, and they're like, damn, I wish I could just, like, use my mouse and keyboard. I'm better at aiming like that. And I was having the opposite of experience. Like, if I was there, I could just pull my gun on this bitch.
Yeah, fact.
It would be so much easier if I could just shoot you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've played VR before playing Resident Evil. That shit was scary because I was high as fuck. But also, it's very intimidating. But when you have everything, like, right to your hands and you can win and play the game using movements, it definitely feels a lot easier. So, there's that.
For me, PS4 was encapsulated with a lot of Apex Legends. I played a ton of Apex Legends, and that's also what got me to try out Titanfall 2. Because, you know, they take place in the same universe. And Titanfall 2... Oh, God, the story on that game fucking hits. Like, just any major story point feels impactful.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, when you're playing Apex, like, some of the characters, like, for instance, Valkyrie, I think is her name, Valkyrie in Apex, her father is one of the bosses from Titanfall 2. And I remember fucking hating that boss fight so much, to the point where now I hate this character in Apex out of principle. Just because when I was playing that, I remember thinking, fuck you and your entire bloodline. And now I've met more of his bloodline, so I gotta say fuck you to her.
Honestly, I felt... I recently downloaded Life of P, which is supposed to be a video game based on Pinocchio's story. Like,
dude, you've been playing Life of P?
No, it's been playing me.
I heard that's like a Pinocchio Souls-like, right?
Yeah, it feels like Dark Souls because I die a lot. Like, too many times. And so I've been stuck on that. And besides that, I played all of the Hitman games because I got the Hitman trilogy. So that I'm addicted to that. There's something crazy about getting dressed up as other people and hiding in closets and killing motherfuckers with poison or a fucking fish. Or
sniping them, too, is also an option often.
I never snipe in Hitman. I'm gonna be honest. I always like close-quarter crazy kills. I'm the nigga who's drowning them or poisoning them with some shit that I got from a foreign country.
I love the sniping when it's an option, but I also love the, like, using a coin to distract someone.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, sneaking up behind them, that kind of shit. That's so satisfying.
My go-to is I always get, like, the lockpick and, like, a security card pick so I can hack the security numbers and PIN codes. Because I always Google that shit. I don't ever know, find out the actual PIN code. And then after doing all that shit, I end up making sure I have, like, the highest rated silencer pistol that I got. And then I go ham. I hack everything and I get through everything with my lockpick. And
without incriminating myself, I love, like, lockpicking or finding out how to open doors and workarounds like that. Like, you remember how I used to get into your apartment complex?
This nigga used to break into my apartment complex. I'm not... Okay, allegedly breaking into my...
I was welcome to be there. I knew a resident. You just hadn't gotten to the door fast enough.
Yeah, so I wouldn't fucking answer his messages fast enough, and I had a security lock, and by the time I opened the door, and I lived on the third floor, he'd already be at my door, like, hey, I've been here.
I mean...
Which I can't even be mad, because I used to do the same shit he did. When I, like, locked myself out of my nana's house, I would fucking use the security card, so...
Yeah, I mean, I have a, an old ATM card that isn't active anymore that I keep in my wallet that's specifically for getting into doors. Like, it's specifically cut to make it easier.
Yeah, something about that shit. Credit cards, yeah.
And it's always satisfying to get... Going back to Fallout real quick, like, it is so... Like, the lockpicking in that game is so good. Like, Bethesda's been using the same lockpicking method through games for years, and that method is... Two items in the door, one of them you turn, the other one you use to, like, start pushing it, and you find the sweet spot. It's so good, though.
I'm gonna name a couple games that I love just for lockpicking. Hitman, Thief, Oblivion, and Fallout. Assassin's Creed as well.
Yeah, I'm thinking... Actually, there was a game, this is on computer, that I loved for lockpicking, because the method was basically the lockpick would just... go back and forth, and it would go faster based on how hard the lock was, but you had to, like, hit the button while it was under the pin to knock it up. And if you hit it, like, off time on any of the pins, all of them would drop back down and the lockpick would break. So you'd have to just restart. But some games, like, creative lockpicking minigames are always great. Creative hacking minigames usually suck, though. Like, I know I was talking high praises for Bioshock before. The hacking minigames in that are fucking stupid.
I'm trying to think of what game that was where the hacking minigame just made... It was majority of the game, and it just really pissed me the fuck off. But it definitely... I fucking hate it. I feel you on that, though.
But by PS4... PS4 is... No, I definitely played Bioshock Infinite on PS4, thinking about it.
It was 24 the game. It was everything... Everything was great about the game, but the hacking shit took way too long. I was tired of the minigames. I just want to get through the level so I can kill some people.
Oh, God. That statement feels like we've all had that kind of fucking thing in a game where it's just literally. Like, stop giving me these little fucking... I just want to finish. I just want to be done.
And I do want to apologize for, you know, the music niches and the sports niches. That's just not us. We're not about to talk about all the Maddens, all the NCAAs, all the MLBs, all the fucking different NBAs. No, we're not talking about that. Just, you'll be all right. We're over here talking about games that
none
don't
the BLMs,
involve...
BLMs.
Yeah. No, literally.
You just caught what I said, right?
Go to hell.
Sorry.
It's okay. It needs you to start helping him with his GoFundMe. He's trying to get a BBC.
Maybe a BBW.
Actually, a BBL.
Before that, FBI gets me.
BBL, Trissy. BBL, Trissy.
All right. But have you played the Bioshock games or no? I know I keep coming back to them, but like on Infinite, I wanted to point out things that were like a little...
No, I have not. Yeah, I played it.
Okay, so, first of all, escort missions suck in games. They always have. It is a standard thing that if this motherfucker is coming with you, they're going to be a fucking annoyance. Like, for instance...
Bioshock sucks, like I'm just playing.
Okay, Resident Evil 4 is a great example of... It sucks to be escorting someone. Like, thank you. You just got the door for me. Bioshock. Okay. Resident Evil 4, you're escorting the, like, president's daughter around for a lot of the game.
That's corny. I didn't know this was Rush Hour. Go ahead.
There are just so many moments where she gets picked up by the zombies or something. You gotta, like, stop what you're doing to turn around and shoot them or run up and stab them and, like, save her. And I don't want to be constantly saving her, what have you. Bioshock Infinite did escort quests the right way. She was never in the way, never in actual danger. They wouldn't shoot her. They were after you. She was just around. And that seems like, oh, then why even have her there, other than story purposes? No, because she would randomly throw you, like, ammo or health or things like that. She would just be like, hey, I got something. And you could hit the button like a QuickTime event and she'd toss it to you. That is so much better. She is a resource. All of the convenient story purposes of having someone there, like, there's actual gameplay mechanics that are relying on this, but it isn't a detriment to you. Like, I have not seen another game that's handled escorting someone in a way that's helpful and makes you want them to be around. I have never had another game that made me say, damn, I wish that I was on this escort quest right now. I'm flying solo, and it's worse because of it.
I will say there is... two games that I fuck with completely where you, I wouldn't say you're escorting somebody, but you definitely have a side character that stays with you and you either have to keep them alive or they help you with your quest or so on. God of War Ragnarok. Just the fact that Kratos just sits there and calls his son boy like he forgot his son's
boy.
Name. Boy, get over here. It's like, bro. If you
don't
just.
How many gamers are going to just call their sons boy because of that game?
Me. I'm one of them. Boy! But not only that, there's this PS2 game called The Darkness where you're like literally over here some fucking metal ass looking dude with long ass black hair and you've got this skull homie that follows you around, but he also turns into a gun and a sword and other things you need, but he talks a lot. That's a good game.
Like Soul Eater kind of style?
Yeah, kind of like Soul Eater.
Huh. No, I haven't heard of this game, and now I'm thinking, like, that sounds pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, and, like, you got special powers, so you, like, got, like, tentacles that shoot out, and you can, like, grab niggas and rip them apart.
And he, like, talk to you like that dude from, like, Lollipop Chainsaw on his girlfriend's butt, like...
Yeah, you would have a whole-ass floating, like, skull head that turns to shit, and he talks shit.
But I gotta say, I haven't played Lollipop Chainsaw. I've seen clips from it.
I heard of it.
It looks hilarious.
It looks fucking fried. It looks like the demise of humanity, but...
I remember there was one clip I saw that I found hilarious, where it was like, she was talking to... His name's Nick, right? Juliet and Nick. Juliet would just ask him, like, hey, what's your favorite color? It was like, blue or red or something. Like, I don't remember exactly what he said. And she's just like, oh, that's so interesting. I love learning about you. And he just responded, I fucked up, it's yellow.
Listen, Lollipop Chainsaw and, like, shit like High School of the Dead always reminds me that things like anime and sexism goes hand in hand.
Yeah, you know there's an achievement in that game for trying to look up Juliet's skirt?
I'm not fucking surprised. I hate
it. It's called It Was an Accident, I Swear.
What the fuck? I'll take all the bully achievements before I do that, including the one where you kiss the gay dude.
No, if I'm playing as a woman and she's in a skirt, I'm probably gonna try at some point. Like, I'm not proud to say
I'm
that.
Probably gonna try at some point.
I'm not proud to
My
say
God.
That, but it's... But I'm gonna, like, I'm gonna be curious if they actually, you know...
Get help. So, apparently this worked from...
I'm the one that needs to get help.
To an intervention.
We had a full conversation about masturbating on mushrooms and fucking people on
Yeah, that's
like,
a different story.
That's... No, fuck you.
Oh, trust me, I need it. Let's finish off with the ending of PS4. One of the games that I really wanted to, like, really indulge in that PS4 has not done is I keep hearing talks of a remake or a redo of Tom Clancy Splinter Cells, but they keep postponing it and talking out of their asshole. And I just want to say, get that shit done, pieces of shit. I don't have a sneaky-ass game outside of Hitman where I can sit here and shoot someone with a silencer execution style while doing shit like climbing on walls and spreading my legs, you know, wider than...
Spreading your legs?
Listen, spreading my legs wider than these cheerleaders to get me to wall, like, climb and shit.
Yeah, you brought up remakes and, like, whatever... that reminded me of another PS4 game that I was way into for way too long, which was Bloodborne.
That was a good game.
I have beaten Bloodborne so many times with different builds and different setups. At a certain point, I just started making, like, stupid builds, like, all guns builds and stuff. And I had one where if I did a visceral attack, which you get from, like, shooting someone at the right time, it would replenish 3 bullets. So if I shoot 1 bullet and get their timing right, I can do the visceral and get 3 back, and just always, I did no melee with that character, like, out of principle. I had the gun, and I used, like, the gun sword melee weapon that allows you to shoot with your melee as well. So I had, like, 2 different ways of shooting, because I had the blunderbuss in my offhand, so I could either shoot a long-range bullet or a short-range burst, and just, that's the level of ridiculous I got to from playing that game too much. I had a boss buster build where I had to go into my brother's world and help him beat Rom the Vacuous Spider. Rom is one of those 3-stage bosses that after you get its health down like 1/3, it teleports, and then it, like, another 1/3 it teleports, and it has, like, it's different each time. I beat it in the first phase in my brother's world because I was using my boss buster build. I soaked that thing in oil, put flame on my weapon, ate a bunch of beast blood pellets, and just annihilated it.
I fucking believe it. I will say, before we even get close to ending this podcast, there are 2 games that I'd be mad at my future self for not mentioning. So, well, mad at my past self. So, it's Saints Row, all the whole series.
I think being mad at your future self is called anxiety.
Well, you know, I live with it. So, Saints Row is a really good game. If you haven't heard of it, you're fucking, I don't know what the fuck
I
you're
still
doing.
Have no clue what Saints Row is about. Every time I see something about it, it just makes me question that even further.
At the end of the day, it's, like, supposed to be gang-related, but, I never played Saints Row, the first one. Okay, I heard it was okay. I've never played number two. I heard it was average. I played number three. That shit was badass. I got to shoot people with weird shit and beat people with dildos. It's pretty much like if GTA had a you can do whatever you want button.
I've seen both Satan and Aliens in reference to that game, and I don't know.
Yeah, I've been stuck on the mission where you're like almost done with the game, but you're stuck on the moon, and I
I've
don't know what to
also
do
seen
about it.
the dildo bat that's called like what, the Penetrator or something like that.
Yeah, facts. But I will say Johnny Gat is one of the most memorable video game characters of all time. Just that name alone.
Is that the protagonist?
No, it's just one of the characters.
This is one of the dudes?
It's just one of the
That's
characters.
holy shit.
But besides Saint Row, and but number four, I will mention, it was hyped up. It was a money grab. It's too much. It was extra. Fuck Saints Row 4. I'll never play it. To be honest, it's like if Watch Dogs 2 was twice as bad, which Watch Dogs 2 was all right, but it can never. Just you fucked up. But anyway, there was another game that I wanted to mention that I would get mad at my past self, and that was Minecraft. We've been talking about the evolution of video games, but Minecraft had its own evolution with being a game that's still playable after 10, 15 years.
Yeah, and they're still updating. Now, granted, the updates kind of fucking suck at this point. Because they always have the mob vote, you know that?
Yeah.
And, like, they introduce, like, three new interesting ideas for mobs. And then they, like, have a full vote. And then they get. And then they release one. Like, they add one of them to the game. And then everyone gets mad because it's always the worst one. Because they added, like, the Phantoms, which are the most annoying mob in the world. When they could have added, I don't remember what the other ones were. There was like a boss level Blaze enemy that would have been really cool, shit like
Facts.
that. And they just never add the good ones. And then within like a week, modders add all the other ones for people who want to play them anyway. So it's like, you obviously could have. Like, there are mods that fully revamp the entire game to such an extent that it's almost an entirely different experience. And Mojang's out here releasing one new item per year. And we're just like, what the fuck?
I fucking believe it. See, Minecraft opened me up to survival games in the first place. If it wasn't for Minecraft, I wouldn't be over here in my late 20s. Fuck me. Playing and like being in love with games like The Forest or Red Dead Redemption
Forest
2
is a good mention.
or Fallout 4. Just these games alone just keeps you on that mindset of you gotta make sure your character eats, you gotta make sure your character doesn't get poison or fucking radiation or whatever the fucking case will be, and you gotta make sure they sleep and shit like and bathe like
That is one thing that the Phantoms did introduce, is you do need to sleep now because there's a repercussion. But at the same time, it's really shitty repercussion.
at the end of the day I give Minecraft its flowers, so
Oh yeah, Minecraft started as like there's one biome, like you can collect some wood, build a basic little shack, don't die to the creepers. And now it's like a whole thing. There's an end game boss, multiple side bosses that you can fight, different types of gear, a million different ways you can customize it personally. And I'm not just talking mods, I'm talking they just added armor trims a little while ago.
see, I was 27 years old when I found out there was a story mode in Minecraft because I thought all you had to do was just survive.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's the end game boss in the end, like,
Yeah.
but aside from that, like, you really do just do whatever. Like, you beat the end dragon, not so you can beat the game, but just so that you can unlock the rest of the end and get, like, elytras and shit, you know?
Hell yeah. But do you have any other things you want to say?
No, I feel like Minecraft is the best example of a game that's super simplistic in concept, and over the years has developed into something way bigger.
And it's also super influential.
Extremely influential. It has a movie coming out soon, too.
I'm not watching that movie.
You're not.
But
Seriously? I'm
no.
definitely watching it.
There's some video games that just should stay video games.
Dude, Jack Black is playing Steve. How could you not? I think it's
Dude,
based off the novel.
listen, at the end of the day, I love you, Jack Black, but I'm sorry. You haven't had me wanting to watch one of your movies since year one.
Look, I bought the audiobook. I'm gonna watch the movie.
Do you, boo-boo? That ain't me, though.
The audiobook that. for reference for the audience, the audiobook was written by the writer of DayZ, or not DayZ, World War Z, and was voiced by Jack Black. And now Jack Black is the one that's running the movie, which apparently has the same plot as the book. Yes, I'm going to have to watch it.
Talk to me when you make a remake of The Warriors, then call me.
You know, I want that way more than I want a Minecraft movie, like, for real.
Nah, for real. But, I'm Trent, that's Ed, this was Ass Backwards, this was part two of the video game, experience, the nostalgia that came with it. I'm tired, you're on crack, thank you everybody!
Alright, I don't know if that's gonna make it in. Bye.